Hello, everybody, and welcome to Rounding Third Sports. I'm your host, Steve. Let's get started. Today, we're going to talk about opening day for Major League Baseball. So, exciting time for me being a big baseball fan. The Reds announced their promotional schedule, so I do want to talk a little bit about that. And we'll talk a little bobblehead. We'll talk all that stuff. As I've mentioned in episodes past, I am a big bobblehead collector, especially Reds bobbleheads. So it's something I like to discuss. I know in one episode I talked about just the excess amount of bobbleheads that teams now have because of the shortened season and no fans last year. So yeah, we'll look at what they have this year. As well as talk a little bit about opening day. So we are now, you're getting this. It'll be Saturday. It'll be at least Saturday, if not later. So, we will be less than a week away from opening day 2021. So, with that comes the choice for every team on who's going to start opening day. And yes, I know there's 162 games to go through. What is one game? But it's always something to be able to say that you are an opening day starting pitcher. So looking at all-time records just for opening day, and I don't know that these numbers will ever be duplicated again, but number one is Tom Seaver with 16 career opening day starts. And then there's a tie for second. Steve Carlton, Jack Morris, Randy Johnson, and Walter Johnson all had 14 career opening day starts. I don't see those numbers ever being matched. You don't see the kind of dominant pitching by one specific person. You know, a lot of teams now have their top two or their big three. Things happen, injuries and all that goes into that. You know, you just don't have that one player on every team that's going to start year after year after year. Players move a lot more in free agency. So while the opportunity is there, I just don't see it being a realistic thing. New players come and go all the time, and players emerge that end up taking their place. I don't know. I don't know that those numbers will ever be matched, but I could be proven wrong. So let's go through these teams. We're going to go through all 30 teams. I had to make sure I counted that right. All 30 teams and who they have either announced as their opening day starter or who will most likely be their opening day starter. So starting with Arizona, we're going to go through the teams in alphabetical order. Just because that's how it's listed here. So Arizona has not yet announced their starter. It was expected that Zach Gallen would be that starter, but this past Tuesday, it was announced that he has a hairline fracture in his arm. So I don't know that he would be their presumed starter, but this would be the fourth consecutive season with a different opening day starter for the Diamondbacks, with the last three being Madison Bumgarner, Zach Greinke, and Patrick Corbin. So Arizona just rotating through pitchers like crazy. The Braves announced Max Fried will be their opening day starter against the Phillies. He finished last season fifth in Cy Young with a 2.25 ERA in 56 innings. So obviously shortened season. But still a 2.25 ERA is a good number. So the Orioles moving on to Baltimore, left-handed pitcher John Means. There's no surprise here. All-star in 2019, second on the staff in innings last season, behind Alex Cobb. Now, Baltimore has not had a pitcher made consecutive opening day starts since Chris Tillman did it from 2014 to 2016. So interesting note there. So that's the fifth straight season that they've had somebody different. Boston Red Sox left-handed pitcher Eduardo Rodriguez will be their starter against the Orioles. So he missed last season after developing myocarditis, or otherwise known as inflammation of the heart muscle, which he actually got from having COVID. In 2019, he had a 19-6 record, a 3.81 ERA, 213 strikeouts over 203 innings. So, yeah, that makes sense with him being the starter. Glad to see him coming back from this myocarditis that he has, and hopefully he can have a long, healthy season. Chicago Cubs announced Kyle Hendricks will be their opening day starter. That was a no-brainer once they traded Yu Darvish. It became obvious that he was going to be the one. So this will be the second straight opening day start for Hendricks. So he's not a first-timer like all these other ones I've listed so far. Prior to him, John Lester had started the previous three season openers for the Cubs. Chicago White Sox, no surprise here. Lucas Giolito will make back-to-back opening day starts. He is the first starter with consecutive game one nods since Chris Sale did it in 2013 and 2014. If he can make it three straight next year, then he will join a select group since World War II that includes Mark Burley, Jack McDowell, Wilbur Wood, and Billy Pierce. So a very short list of Chicago White Sox starters that have started more than three or more opening day starts. The Reds, obviously Sonny Gray dealing with a back injury, so he won't be making that back-to-back appearance. But Luis Castillo returns to the opening day starter. So this will be his second career opening day start, but however, just not consistent, not back-to-back. The Reds have not actually had a pitcher make consecutive opening day starts since Johnny Cueto did it for four seasons back from 2012 through 2015. Indians, Cleveland Indians, again, no surprise. Shane Bieber will be their starter. Second consecutive game one start for him. Should he make a third, he'll join Corey Kluber, Justin Masterson, CC Sabathia, and Bartolo Colon as the only Indians to do it since the last round of expansion. Colorado Rockies have not named their starter yet. Expectation is German Marquez would get the nod. He would be the sixth player to start consecutive opening days. So a little bit longer of a list there. The Tigers announced Matthew Boyd will start the season opener. It'll be his second consecutive opening day start. So the Tigers have only had one pitcher start three consecutive game ones since 1998, and that is Justin Verlander. No shock there. The Astros look to Zach Greinke to start their opener. This will be his first opening day start with the Astros, but this will be his fifth opening day overall. He was the opening day starter in 2010 for Kansas City. And then he had three opening day starts with the Diamondbacks in 2016, 17, and 19. So Zach Greinke right now is the highest number of starts, career opening day starts at five. Kansas City Royals look at Brad Keller for the second time in 3 years. So interesting to note there. So he was the opening day starter in 2019, and then again now this year. LA Angels looked at Dylan Bundy. Let's see. They have not had someone start consecutive opening days since Jared Weaver did it from 2010 to 2015. So that's a long period of time So Jared Weaver obviously had that dominant run. And Dylan Bundy, also side note, becomes a free agent after the season. So the Dodgers. Okay, I want to see that. I want to read this because I want to see how many this makes for him, because he might be the one that breaks this, that breaks into the top five. Clayton Kershaw for the Dodgers. Again, no surprise. It will be his 9th career opening day start. So 2 years ago he missed. So this would have been 10, but 2 years ago he had the injury that kept him out until he missed the last two. So he actually would be at 11, but he missed the last two because of injuries. So he's at 9. He needs 5 more to get into the top, to get into that tie, that four-way tie of 14. So 6 years to break, to be number 2. The Marlins look at Sandy Alcantara. This will be his 2nd straight start. The Brewers look at Brandon Woodruff. This will be his 2nd consecutive start. The Twins look at Kenta Maeda. And he actually snaps Jose Berríos' consecutive opening day starts. So Berríos started the past 2, and now Kenta Maeda gets this season. It'll be the first opening day start for Maeda as well. The Mets look at Jacob deGrom. No surprise there. This will be his 3rd consecutive opening day. So yeah, no surprise there. He is the first Mets starter to start 3 opening days in a row since Johan Santana did it from 08 to 2010. Gerrit Cole for the Yankees gets the nod. This will be his 5th. Just kidding. This is not his 5th. Cole would need to start 5 additional opening days after this one to tie Mel Stottlemyre, Whitey Ford, and Ron Geardry for the most in franchise history for the Yankees. And interesting to note, Cole is under contract through the 2028 season, so he could definitely do that. Potentially. Barring injury, barring trade, or anything like that. The Athletics, Chris Bassitt, will be the opening day starter. There's nothing of note here, so this is probably his first one. He did finish 8th in Cy Young voting last year. Aaron Nola for the Phillies. This will be 4 consecutive for him. The Pirates have not announced. However, they lost their last 2 opening day starters to trades. So no real big names here. But of the ones available, Mitch Keller would be his 2nd opening day start for Pittsburgh. So still unknown there. St. Louis Cardinals, Jack Flaherty. No surprise whatsoever there. This will be a 2nd consecutive game 1 start. If he makes a 3rd next season, he would join Adam Wainwright, Chris Carpenter, and Matt Morris as the only Cardinals to do that. The Padres have not announced their starter yet. However, they have Blake Snell, they have Yu Darvish. So either one of them would make perfect opening day starters. My guess would be Blake Snell would get that nod, but who knows. San Francisco has not made their decision. Kevin Gausman is most likely, but Johnny Cueto could also do it as well. Marco Gonzalez gets the nod for the Mariners. This will be his third consecutive opening day. Tyler Glasnow for the Rays. He'll be the fourth different opening day starter in the last 3 years. That sentence does not make sense. Okay. So Tyler Glasnow gets the nod for Tampa Bay. Kyle Gibson gets the nod for the Rangers. The Blue Jays have not named their starter yet, but Hyunjin Ryu is the most likely, which would be his second start in a row. Not just for Toronto, but in general. Max Scherzer for the Nationals. This will be four consecutive and six of the last seven. So Max Scherzer is up to six opening day starts. So that'll do it for the opening day starters. And we'll get ready for the season, for the new season coming up in less than a week. All right, let's look at the promotional schedule for the Reds real quick. I want to break it down by, and it won't let me. Okay. Let's just glance through here then. Magnetic calendar, as they always do on opening day. That's no surprise. It'll include a car magnet this year that features the number 8 patch honoring Joe Morgan. So that would actually be interesting. If you somehow get tickets to the opening day game, that is what you'll get. They bring back the family Sundays. They have the weekday giveaways going on. That will include a Reds team calendar. Friday, April 16th, they have a Jackie Robinson baseball card. April 17th, which is a Saturday, they have Super Saturday. And they're also giving away an Eric Davis Funko Pop. So this Funko Pop actually looks pretty neat. Also on top of that, a silver limited edition will also be randomly distributed to lucky fans. So you might get the silver limited edition of that Funko Pop. And I know Funko Pops are big for some people to get, and the silver limited editions are serious. But if I'm being honest, I'd rather just have the regular one where I can actually tell it's a Cincinnati Reds player. Just my opinion. But would be interesting. Would be fun to go to. Let's see. Let's keep going down through here. Actually, they're giving away the Eric Davis Funko Pop on multiple games. So here it is again on the 21st. They're bringing back Fireworks Fridays. So those are always fun games to go to and see a fireworks display. Monday, May 17th. Monday, okay. Is the Mike Moustakas bobblehead. And also Saturday, May 22nd. So they're giving away the same. So these must be the leftovers from last year then, because they're doing 2 days of these giveaways. So the Moustakas bobblehead day, you can go Monday, May 17th or Saturday, May 22nd. Wednesday, June 9th, as well as Saturday, June 12th, they're doing the Shogo Akiyama bobblehead. So that will be a neat one since this is his first real season with the Reds. I mean, we can count last year, but 60-game season. This will be the first real taste we get of what Shogo Akiyama can really do. Thursday, June 24th, as well as Saturday, June 26th, they are doing a Queen City Sluggers triple bobblehead. If you have not seen these triple bobbleheads that they do, they're pretty neat. I know one they did, there was an all first baseman one they did with, I think it was Hal Morris. No, it wasn't Hal Morris. It was Tony Perez, Sean Casey, and Joey Votto, I believe. I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure that's what it was. They did a second one, and I cannot remember who was on it. It was the pitchers. I think it was a pitchers one. So this year, Queen City Sluggers triple bobblehead is Ted Klazuski, George Foster, and Eugenio Suarez. So that would be a pretty cool one. If you're into collecting bobbleheads as I am, that one would be a fun one to have. Let's see. Glancing down through here. They have, of course, the Topps baseball card set. They're giving away a Gapper bobble belly. You know, I like bobbleheads and all, but that sounds a little weird to me. I'm just picturing in my head Gapper with a belly bobblehead. So instead of his head moving, his belly moves. And that's just weird. That's straight up weird. I don't know who came up with that idea, but I'll pass on that one. Sunday, August 8th is Joe Morgan Day. So it makes sense. 8-8, Joe Morgan Day. They're giving away a Joe Morgan Reds baseball cap. So if you're into buying or into wearing baseball caps, could be or just want it for your souvenir collection, that would be good. Saturday, August 21st, they're doing Marty Brenneman pennant. So they're going to be a commemorative pennant featuring the Hall of Fame broadcaster's signature catchphrase, and this one belongs to the Reds. Let's see. Saturday, September 4th. So here's a pretty cool one. Saturday, September 4th, they're doing a Barry Larkin dual bobblehead. So it'll be the 25th anniversary of Larkin becoming baseball's first 30-30 shortstop. So for those of you that don't know what a 30-30 player is, that's 30 home runs, 30 stolen bases. Barry Larkin was the first player to do it as a shortstop. So they're going to celebrate the 25th anniversary of that with a dual bobblehead. Reds fan cooler, Reds team photo. That about does it. I mean, you have your typical stuff. You have your post-game fireworks shows. You have your Fathead Kids giveaways. You've got your, what else? Baseball card sets and everything else they normally do. They're doing again. So fireworks Fridays are every Friday home game. They're going to do those. Promotional giveaways on Super Saturdays are free to fans in attendance. Weekday giveaways are free to a limited number of fans in attendance on select weekdays. And then kids giveaways are part of Family Sundays are free to kids that are 14 and under. So in case you want to know the rules on that stuff, there it is. It's all first come, first serve. You get one giveaway item per ticket. As long as you qualify and, you know, the ones that are age range or whatever. Yeah. And that is what we are looking at this season. I just want to click on a few of these real quick so I can look at them later. But that's going to do it for our conversation on the Reds on Major League Baseball. So I am going to take a quick break. When I come back, we will discuss NFL free agency and we'll discuss the NBA trade deadline before we wrap it up. So stay tuned. I will be right back after this advertisement. Welcome back. We are going to continue right where we left off. So moving on from Major League Baseball, we are going to jump right into the NFL and discuss the free agents. So a lot of movement this year. A lot of big name players changing teams, which, I mean, you come to expect with the NFL. So we're gonna talk about a lot of these. Talk about some players that were missed out on by my teams. So the Atlanta Falcons, obviously my team. The Bengals being my hometown team. I'll discuss a little bit about them as well. So looking down through here, Trent Williams stays with San Francisco 6 years, $138 million. Bud Dupree, so 28 years old, goes from Pittsburgh to Tennessee, 5 years, $82.5 million. So Tennessee gets a really good defensive player, really in his prime, 28 years old. This should be a big year for him. So no surprise there that he makes his money. Joe Tooney, that this is a player I think the Bengals missed out on. They should have had the ability to sign him. He goes to from New England to Kansas City, 5 years, $80 million. Can't fault the guy. He goes to a team that won the Super Bowl two seasons ago, went to the Super Bowl this past year. He's protecting one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. So no surprise. Kenny Golladay goes from Detroit to the New York Giants. So Matthew Stafford leaves Detroit. They get Jared Goff. Kenny Golladay leaves and goes to the New York Giants. So instead of Jared Goff passing to him, now he gets Daniel Jones passing to him. So 4 years, $72 million there. I don't know if that was a great choice for him or not, but that's where he goes. Shaquille Barrett, outside linebacker from Tampa, stays in Tampa, 4 years, $68 million. Corey Linsley, center from Green Bay, goes to the Chargers. So he will be snapping the ball to Justin Herbert for 5 years, $62.5 million. Let's see. New England had a lot of players they signed. So Matt Judon, outside linebacker, they gave him 4 years, $54.5 million. Jonnu Smith, tight end, 4 years, $50 million. Carl Lawson leaves the Bengals, goes to the Jets for 3 years, $45 million. William Jackson leaves Cincinnati, goes to Washington for 3 years. Let's see, Shaquille Griffin, 26-year-old cornerback, leaves Seattle, goes to Jacksonville for $40 million, 3 years. That's a good signing by Jacksonville. The Giants get Adoree Jackson, another 26-year-old cornerback, for 3 years. Hunter Henry, another tight end, goes to New England. So New England's all about signing the tight ends, getting as many weapons for either Cam Newton or potentially Mac Jones or whoever else they might draft. Getting weapons for him. Corey Davis leaves Tennessee, goes to the New York Jets. Curtis Samuel goes to Washington. So interesting note here, Curtis Samuel, 3 years, $34.5 million. He rejoins Terry McLaurin. So the two of them were outstanding wide receivers for the Buckeyes, played together at Ohio State. So they are reunited in Washington. Ronald Darby, 27-year-old cornerback, goes to Denver for 3 years, $30 million. J.J. Watt, obviously we talked about him going to Arizona. Kevin Zeitler goes to Baltimore. Let's see, Nelson Aguilar, so a wide receiver going to New England. So that is another passing weapon for whoever is the quarterback in New England. Chidobe Awuzie, 26-year-old cornerback from Dallas, goes to Cincy, 3 years, $21.75 million. Let's see, who else we have? Alex Mack leaves Atlanta, goes to San Fran. So he's probably only got a year or two left in him. He signed for 3 years, so I could say he'd probably go 2 years. I don't think he'll go all three, but he'll probably go 2 years there. Pat Elflein goes from the Jets to Carolina. Marvin Jones goes to Jacksonville for a couple years, so he'll be catching passes from Trevor Lawrence. Kyle Rudolph goes to the Giants. Kyle Van Noy goes from Miami to New England. Kenyon Drake leaves Arizona, goes to Las Vegas. Will Fuller goes from Houston to Miami. So interesting piece there. Ryan Fitzpatrick goes to Washington. So he'll be able to throw to those Buckeyes that are out there. Andy Dalton, QB1 for Chicago now. Gets 1 year, $10 million. No, you know, he's going to go out there and do great things for you Chicago fans. Yeah. Andy Dalton, 34 years old quarterback, QB1. So Chicago trying to win a Super Bowl. No. Chicago, I don't know. I don't think you made the right decision there. Andy Dalton is a backup quarterback at best right now. He is not a starting quarterback by any means outside of an injury. I understand you're frustrated with Mitchell Trubisky. You know, he leaves and goes to Buffalo, but Andy Dalton is not your solution, guys. Kyle Fuller goes to Denver. So everyone's leaving Chicago now. Ndamukong Suh re-signs with Tampa. He wants to run it back. Can't blame him. T.Y. Hilton stays in Indy. Juju Smith-Schuster stays in Pittsburgh. That one actually surprised me. I'm not going to lie. I thought he was going to leave there just because of all that craziness. Hassan Reddick leaves Arizona, goes to Carolina. Patrick Peterson goes to Minnesota. Gronkowski comes back. He wants to run it back. Cincinnati does sign an offensive lineman. They get 33-year-old Riley Reiff from Minnesota. 1 year, $7.5 million. So somebody that can help protect Joe Burrow. So that's good. Xavier Rhodes stays in Indy. Malcolm Butler goes to Arizona. AJ Green goes to Arizona. So a lot of people going to Arizona, guys. So apparently that's the destination this year. Emmanuel Sanders goes to Buffalo. Devontae Booker goes from Las Vegas to New York Giants. Jacoby Brissett goes to Miami to be the backup for Tua. DeSean Jackson goes to the Rams. Carlos Hyde goes to Jacksonville, so he reunites with Urban Meyer down there. Tack McKinley goes from Las Vegas to Cleveland. That's a guy I really wish never would have left Atlanta. I've always been a big Tack McKinley fan. So sad to see he's going to Cleveland. Keanu Neal leaves Atlanta, goes to Dallas. So Atlanta losing out on their safeties because Ricardo Allen left to come to Cincinnati. So that's unfortunate. The other unfortunate part is I don't see a lot of movement of players to Atlanta. So that's disappointing. Joe Flacco goes to Philly. Let's see. Philip Lindsay goes to Houston. See if there's anybody else here. Trubisky, like I said, goes to Buffalo to back up Josh Allen. 1 year, $2.5 million. That's sad for a guy that was a top pick a few years ago. He's now a backup making $2.5 million. Now, obviously, that's a lot more money than I make, so that's not bad. But, man, the disrespect there. Mark Ingram goes to Houston. 1 year, $2.5 million. John Ross leaves the Bengals, goes to New York Giants, along with like 20 other players. So Tevin Coleman goes to the Jets. Tyler Kroft goes to the Jets. Marlon Mack stays in Indy. Just try to glance down through here real quick, see if there's anybody else. Raekwon McMillan goes to New England. I don't think there's any other. I don't think I'm missing anybody. I think I've got everybody. Not everybody, but I've got most of the big names here. Yeah. So let's look at who's available then. So the top available free agents that are remaining. So quarterback, if you're looking for a quarterback still, you're going to have to go to the draft because you've got nothing but backups here. Nick Mullins from San Fran, he's a free agent. Brian Hoyer, Alex Smith, Chase Daniel, RG3, Blaine Gabbert, Colt McCoy, Matt Barkley, RG3's listed twice. Okay. And Blake Bortles. Those are your top quarterbacks that are remaining in free agency. So at this point, if you don't have your guy, I'm looking at you, Washington, you're going to have to draft somebody. Obviously, Jacksonville is drafting somebody. Atlanta better be drafting somebody. The Jets should draft somebody, but I don't know if they will. It's not a definite. Carolina needs to draft somebody because you're not finding your answer here. Washington, like I said already, they're drafting somebody. Let's see. Jameis Winston re-signed with New Orleans, so you don't have much there. Brissett signed somewhere. Tyra Taylor signed somewhere. Mitch Trubisky signed somewhere. So, yeah, when Nick Mullins is your top available quarterback, you're looking at the draft at this point. Wide receivers, Antonio Brown, Sammy Watkins. Adam Humphries actually just signed I wish I could remember who he signed with. Let's see. Adam Humphries just signed with Washington. Yeah, that's right. So Adam Humphries goes to the Washington football team alongside Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel. So interesting there. Eli Apple, he went to the Bengals. So him and Von Bell are reunited now. I like that pickup. I am probably one of a few Eli Apple fans. I liked when he got drafted by the Giants. The last time I played Madden, that he is one player that I traded for, because I like Eli Apple. I'm a fan of his. So seeing him come to Cincy, I wish there was a way he would have went to Atlanta, but comes to Cincy, so I'm not too upset with that either. Other free agent wide receivers: Marquise Goodwin, Golden Tate, Larry Fitzgerald, Cordarrelle Patterson, Alshon Jeffrey, D.D. Westbrook. So mostly veterans, you know, you guys like Brown, Watkins, Goodwin, Fitzgerald, all veterans. So those are guys that are going to be helping somebody that needs a veteran presence, somebody that's proven. So not a terrible idea for the Bengals maybe to grab a Sammy Watkins or a Marquise Goodwin. Even a Golden Tate, realistically, just to help out your T. Higgins and whoever else you might draft. Top running backs remaining: James Conner. So here's a list that I feel like I'm looking at like 3 years ago. I'm looking back at like 2018 at these names: James Conner, Leonard Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Duke Johnson. Tevin Coleman's on here. Jerick McKinnon's on here. So there are some top name running backs. However, none of these guys are really proven. Jacksonville gives up on Leonard Fournette. He goes to Tampa, doesn't do a ton, but gets that Super Bowl ring. Le'Veon Bell goes to the Chiefs, doesn't do much. Todd Gurley goes to Atlanta, unfortunately doesn't do much. James Conner has a weaker year with Pittsburgh. So, you know, once Aaron Jones decided to re-sign with Green Bay, you didn't have much to go on. Chris Carson returned to Seattle. Marlon Mack returned to Indy. So there's just not a whole lot here. Tight ends: Trey Burton, Tyler Eifert, Jordan Reed, Jesse James. After those four names, you don't really have much. So obviously New England grabbed the top, two of the top ones in Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith. So there's not much to go on there. Offensive linemen, I'm looking at you, Cincinnati. You guys still need some offensive line help. Russell Okung, Alejandro Villanueva, Kalichi Asamili from Kansas City. I'm sure I butchered that name. Eric Fisher from Kansas City. Trey Turner is somehow still a free agent. DJ Fluker is still a free agent. Yeah, we need to be jumping on these guys. This is a true statement. The offensive line group contains some fascinating names. They are veterans, but they'd make a good presence for some teams. As far as defensive players, Darius Williams, cornerback from LA, JC Jackson, Geno Atkins, Jadeveon Clowney, Richard Sherman, Melvin Ingram, Quentin Dunbar, Kawan Short, AJ Bouye, Malik Hooker, Mackenzie Alexander, Bashaud Breeland. These are all names that are decent names that should be picked up. Alden Smith. The cornerback market, yes, is outstanding here. Darius Williams, JC Jackson, Richard Sherman, Brian Poole, Quentin Dunbar, Bashaud Breeland, Mackenzie Alexander, and AJ Bouye. That's an outstanding list of players available if you need a cornerback. So that is your free agency for the NFL. Let's jump over to the NBA, and I'll close out today talking about the trade deadline that just happened. So I know I haven't talked as much about the NBA in terms of trades, but a lot happened today. There were some big trades. There were some small trades. We opened up with JaVale McGee moving again. So he's going to Denver. It's a nice veteran presence there for Denver. So Cleveland in sends McGee to Denver, and they in turn get Isaiah Hartenstein, as well as a 2023 second-round pick and an unprotected 2027 second-round pick. The Chicago Bulls go out and they get Nikola Vucevic from Orlando, as well as Al-Farouq Aminu. And they send – Chicago then sends Wendell Carter Jr., Otto Porter, and two first-round picks to Orlando. So Chicago now has Zach LaVine as well as Nikola Vucevic. So that really helps them to be able to move around the court. That gives them a big man presence. Let's see. Boston gets Evan Fournier from Orlando. Orlando gets 2 second-round picks in response. So Boston gets another player that'll help them in terms of shooting. Let's see. Denver gets Aaron Gordon and Gary Clark from Orlando. Orlando gets Gary Harris, RJ Hampton, and a first-round pick. So Denver making some moves and Orlando getting rid of a lot of players. So Aaron Gordon goes along with Nikola Jokic as well as Jamal Murray. So that gives them 3 players to be able to compete with the Lakers with LeBron and AD, as well as the Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George. Yeah, that'll be a good – I see now Denver's potential. That's not really that great, that big of a deal. Miami gets Nemanja Bjelica from Sacramento. Let's see. 3-team trade. So there's always a multiple-team trade, I feel like. But Philadelphia gets George Hill. The Knicks get Terrence Ferguson. Oklahoma City gets Austin Rivers, Tony Bradley, and 2 second-round picks. So a bunch of players and picks changing hands there, going every which way. So Rajon Rondo goes to the Clippers. Lou Williams, in turn, goes to Atlanta. So the Clippers are making a bet on playoff Rondo, helping them in the postseason the way he helped that team down the hall a year ago. So he helped the Lakers last season. Now he's going to be in the same building down the hall playing for the Clippers. So I think he will significantly help them. And then Lou Williams goes to Atlanta. Let's see. The surprising events is that Kyle Lowry and Lonzo Ball go nowhere. So they stay right with the teams that they're with now. Lowry was linked to Philly, Miami, and both LA teams. And then in the end, the Raptors decided to keep him. He was not traded. He will be a free agent. He could re-sign, but he might leave as well. But for now, he remains a Toronto Raptor. And then the other hot trade name was Lonzo Ball with the Pelicans. He was linked to the Clippers, the 76ers. So the same team is looking at him. Instead, he stays with the Pelicans. Again, he also becomes a restricted free agent this summer. So New Orleans is going to have to pay up if they're going to keep him long term. Miami adds Victor Oladipo to help with their playoff push. In turn, Houston then gets Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, and 2022 swap rights for the Nets pick. So Oladipo was plan B in Miami. So Miami really wanted to get either Aaron Gordon or Kyle Lowry. Neither of those worked out, so they go with Victor Oladipo. He's averaging 20.8 points a game this season, but only shooting 40.6% overall and 33.2% from three-point arc. So he is not the same Oladipo that we remember from the Indiana days and his early days with, well, the Pacers, as well as with even OKC and Houston. So obviously that injury played a part in his change, but he goes to Miami alongside Jimmy Butler and see what he can do down there. Dallas goes out and gets J.J. Redick along with Nicolo Melli. New Orleans then gets James Johnson as well as a 2021 second rounder in cash. So what Dallas wanted is they wanted a shooter to go along with Luka. Would make sense. You don't want Luka to be your only shooter. So you go out and get J.J. Redick. He is a veteran. He is a sharp shooter. He's a great shooter all the way back to his Duke days. He's been an outstanding shooter. So they say he's had a down season. However, they're hoping that a new scenery, new situation, a new system would help him to get back on the right track. Let's see, another three-team deal. Not really a lot happening there. So, yeah, those are your big trades. Aaron Gordon moves from Orlando to Denver. Oladipo goes from Houston to Miami. Rondo goes from Atlanta to the Clippers. And the other big trade was Nikola Vucevic going from Orlando to Chicago. So some big trades that happened, some different dynamics, some different scenery out there for the NBA. So we will see how the rest of the season goes there. We'll see what the playoffs look like. As we sit right now, let me pull up standings. As we sit right now with the playoffs, okay, you only give me half the playoffs. That's good. Let me pull up the full standings here. So as we sit right now in the Eastern Conference, Philadelphia has the one seed. Milwaukee, the two seed. Brooklyn's got the three seed. Charlotte is your four seed. The Knicks are your five seed. Atlanta at six, Miami at seven, and Boston at eight. Chicago, interesting enough, sits at the number 10 seed right now. So going out and getting Vucevic should help them in hopefully potentially breaking into the top eight. Toronto sits at the 11. Orlando already sits down at 14. So, you know, them trading all those players isn't going to hurt them any more than they're already hurting. So out of the East, though, you have your big three teams: Philadelphia, Milwaukee, Brooklyn. Those are your three teams that are going to be in contention most likely at the end of the season, barring some kind of crazy upset. Looking at the Western Conference, the Utah Jazz are actually sitting at number one. Phoenix is sitting at number two. The Clippers and the Lakers come in at three and four, respectively. Denver sitting at number five, so now they get Aaron Gordon to try to compete and get them up higher. Portland sits at six, Dallas sits at seven, and the San Antonio Spurs at number eight. Interesting note here, the Warriors sitting at number 10, the Pelicans at 11, and Houston all the way down at 14. So, realistically, there are six teams here I could see competing in the West. The top six there, I could see them having a shot at going to the finals. So we'll see. We'll see how it plays out. We'll see what the playoff bracket looks like at the end of the season. So next episode, I will probably do an NFL draft episode, so I'll do some mock draft. We'll see what we'll see what a mock draft pulls up for teams. So we'll see what big names go through. I will find a simulator to run that through, and we'll see where these players go, where these players are drafted, what teams get who and what positions and all of that. So we'll go through that. We'll talk some more Major League Baseball. Obviously, next episode we will most likely we will be past opening day at that point. So we'll talk about how the season has started. And we'll go from there. And then NFL, we'll talk any future signings or trades. We'll talk, obviously we'll talk college basketball as we'll be really close to, let's see, at the time of the next episode, which should be next Saturday, we will be at, probably when I record, we will be at the Final Four. So we will probably not be through the Final Four yet, but we'll be at least at the Final Four. So we'll know where we sit in terms of who is going forward, who's playing for, what upsets may or may not have happened. We're right in the thick of getting ready to start spring games for and spring practices for college football. So we are literally right in the height of everything happening. One quick note. No, I'm not even going to talk about it. We're not going to discuss fantasy baseball right now. There's nothing really to discuss. But yeah, don't forget, check me out on Instagram, Rounding Third Sports. Drop me a comment, drop me a message. Follow me if you don't already. That's Rounding Third Sports on Instagram. And if you can, drop me a voice message on here. I know there's a way on Anchor as well as Spotify to leave messages. So if you have any suggestions, any players you would like to see drafted to your team in the NFL, maybe your predictions on the NBA and the playoffs and who you think is going to raise the banner this year, what you want to see in Major League Baseball. So maybe a prediction on who's going to win, maybe a player that's going to be traded this year, maybe a player who's going to be a breakout player this year. But we'll get more into that. As I said, we'll talk NFL draft next episode and see what the NFL dynamics look like after that. Thank you again for listening, and we will be back next Saturday to discuss more. So see you next time.